It's time for Arthur Schwartz, potentially the food maven, potentially not. We've recently been told we can call him whatever we want, except late for dinner, as the old joke goes. So, hello, not late
hello,
for dinner.
Hello. But you know what? I mean, in this weather, you can call me late for dinner, too. Actually, at my usual hour of feeling like, oh, I should be preparing dinner or whatever, or thinking about it, I'm not thinking about it. But I know that in 2 hours or 3 hours, and, of course, part of it in air conditioning, I'll think differently. So I do have to be prepared.
Right.
Anyway.
And have you seen the, I won't say stupid headlines, about how people are now eating earlier?
Well, I'm included in that.
I'm always
ahead of my time. For years I've been eating my main meal at midday.
Exactly. But that used to be the way. I mean, you had dinner. That was your the big meal was midday.
Yeah.
And then you had supper.
In fact,
anyway.
My grandfather, who was born in Brooklyn and not in the old country, but still, he used to call it dinner. I mean, when we had, you know, come to dinner for him was at 1 o'clock.
Right, exactly. So just a little historical precedent before we move on. Go on.
Well, so anyway, I'm not in the mood to cook here. I mean, usually I remembering back to other Julys and August. I know I talk a lot about booze because it's the time for cold drink, alcoholic beverage. And, by the way, so the one remedy, of course, so certainly if you're going to Florida, you want to be against malaria, so you can have a gin and tonic. You know, quinine used to be considered the number one, I don't know what, for malaria. But
still
in
is.
Case,
by the way,
it still is.
Absolutely. Quinine and hydroxychloroquine. Never mind.
Oh, no, that drug that, whatever.
No, but seriously, according to...
No, seriously, seriously.
CDC and
but anyway,
NIH.
Seriously, I have to eat and not just drink. So the other day, Bob, being very thoughtful, bought a loaf of my favorite bread, which is, everybody will want to know, it's baked by a bakery. I think it is in Soho. Somebody told me it's a she. I never been there, and I never saw her or him. And it's called Grand Daisy. And they sell it in the fancy grocery around the corner from me. And it's her integrale, which is the Italian word for whole wheat bread. So integrale means integral. Everything's there. Hers is not like the most whole wheaty wheat bread I've ever eaten, and I do like wheaty wheat breads, but has no sugar, and I think has just the right balance of whole wheat flour and whatever other flour she's putting in there. But it's a delicious bread when it's absolutely fresh, and it's also useful when it's not. So one of the dishes that people come back from Italy, especially coming back from Tuscany, will tell you about is panzanella, and it's all over the U.S. as well. It's a form of bread salad, and I know you don't like soggy bread, but if you have the right bread for panzanella, it's not soggy bread.
No, I understand.
And
it's more like wet bread.
Try to find the right bread. You can't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So there you go.
The only time I've enjoyed panzanella is when I baked my own Tuscan bread, which I'm not doing, certainly not in this heat. In any case, there are other bread salads, and the one that I make most often is the Neapolitan version of caponata. Now, caponata, most everybody thinks of as eggplant, kind of condiment relish, I don't know what you, condimento in Italian. But anyway, it's fried or not. I actually make a baked one, so I'm not making that right now because in a heat wave, I'm not turning the oven on to 400 degrees for an hour and a half.
Anyway,
back to the Neapolitan caponata. It's a bread salad. But with the bread that I've been buying, this integrale, Bob bought this whole loaf of bread. I ended up with two-thirds of it at least, uneaten and drying out. And I said, let me make croutons with it. The idea was at that moment I was going to make a big Caesar salad. I still could because I have a lot of croutons now. These are terrific croutons for a Caesar salad. And that's something you could eat in the hot weather. But I thought, let me try making a Neapolitan-style bread salad and keep the croutons crunchy. And here's what I did. First of all, you do need to have good ingredients for this, like really juicy, ripe tomatoes. I use two to make my salad. I'm just going to give you an example of one. I've done this several times different ways, but two big beefsteak tomatoes. I diced them into half-inch pieces, threw them in the salad bowl, and salted them. Because the idea is to get out some of that liquid. But you want it, because you want it to moisten your salad. But so I do it ahead. You can do it in the morning for later in the day, even. And I would put in some minced garlic. I prefer garlic a little bit to onion, only because I'm cooking for somebody who doesn't eat raw onion but will happily eat raw garlic. But, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd often use a diced sweet onion or red onion instead of the garlic. And just let that sit. Of course, the salt and oil. But you don't have to add the oil right now. Just the salt is enough to leach out some of the juiciness from the tomatoes. And that's enough base juicy salad to, 3 cups of croutons, a substantial number of croutons. But it's not just tomatoes and bread. To the tomato salad, when you're ready to eat it, I add tuna fish, a can of tuna drained. I use light tuna, not white tuna, but you can do what you like. I like this. I have capers. I keep salted capers in the house. If you only have the ones that are packed in brine or vinegar, that's okay, too. Just drain them. And so some capers. So for these two big tomatoes, I would say one big clove of garlic is enough, or a half of a medium red or sweet onion. And you want an herb. If you have fresh basil, put in as much as you feel like tearing into the salad. And then eventually you're going to put in oil and olives. Now, I like dark olives, and I have not had any luck buying pitted olives, even at the olive bar in various markets, because invariably they're mushy. I don't see how the olive, benefits from being... You may benefit, you don't have to pit them, but I don't mind pitting them. You know, it's not really cooking. You know, you're not applying heat. I can stand there mindlessly and pit olives. And you know what? Pit is as few or as many as you like. Black olives, Kalamata olives, Gaeta olives are good. I love Gaeta olives. Besides that they're very Neapolitan, Gaeta is just north of Naples. But they're freestone, so you can pinch them. And they'll pop out, the pit will pop out. And this salad is a real sailor's salad, meaning this is what sailors of old used to eat while they were out at sea, sea being the Mediterranean. And the Naples was and still is a major port on that side of Italy. The other port is Genoa. And no surprise, there's a Genovese version of caponata, which is in their dialect, coponado, something like that. And they make it. Let me just flip back to Naples caponata. So I'm using, I make this big tomato salad with tuna, olives, capers, pepper, of course, some torn basil. If you don't have basil, a few big pinches of oregano is very good. And then when you're ready, but only when you're ready to eat it, spread the croutons over the top, sprinkle them lightly with vinegar. I use nice, very, very fruity red wine vinegar. And only then toss it with the tomatoes. Now, if you're like Jill and you want crunchy croutons...
No.
No, pardon me?
I have to adjust the soggy bread thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't like wet bread. By wet, I mean water or milk. You can put as much oil. Exactly. So
The ones on the bottom, if you let it sit 10 minutes.
It's yummy.
The ones on the bottom will soak up some of that delicious tomato.
Exactly. But that's all okay. That's not what I mean by wet bread. That's
okay,
so good.
So
we're all good.
I mean, I think it should have a little bit of both in the end. You know, every portion should have some crunchy bread.
And some wet bread.
And some flavored with the juices bread.
Some crouton.
I don't want to call it soggy bread. It's not actually. Because I dried out these croutons in a 250-degree oven for a half an hour and then turned off the oven and let them stay in there. They were so beautifully crunchy and flavorful without any sugar. We really are enjoying these croutons.
You mean any sugar?
Pardon me?
Why would you sugar them?
No, bread. This is the problem with bread these days. Americans want sugar in everything, and a lot of even what they call themselves artisanal bakeries are putting some, you know, honey. They say honey.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it's honey. But you know what? It's still sugar. And it's sweeter. It's sweet. And I don't really want sweet in my bread.
Oh, now that's really funny. The reason that I say it's really funny is you mentioned something. I am, of course, the anti... I nothing against sugar. Happy for sugar, just not in my. I don't need sweet. If I want challah, I'll have challah. Otherwise, I don't. But
challah is sweet to start.
That's what I mean.
That's
sweet. Exactly what I mean. If I want sweet bread, then I
you'll eat a brioche.
Right, but if I don't, so I have noticed in the last year, I am a big consumer of baguette that used to be made. What's that fancy bakery in New York? It used to. They
I don't know. There are a lot of.
Yeah, I know, but it was in the West Village, whatever. Not Magno, but anyway. And I have noticed in the last, I would say, 5 months, especially when I had somebody start making breadcrumbs out of the, just the leftover pieces. I was like, why is this sweet? Why does this smell sweet?
Well, because, yeah, and you know, if it's packaged bread, you can read the label.
Right.
If it's not packaged bread, you're taking your chances these days, I find. And you know what? I understand why. This other bread that I found too sweet actually was browner and more wheaty than the one that I favor, this Grand Daisy one. And I understand why they would put a little bit of sweetening in, because such amount of whole grain can have a bitter edge. So I'm sure, and also it helps for the rising. But you know,
I don't know. Remember,
it wasn't
good
bad.
Pumpernickel?
I don't want to say. I don't even know what bakery it was, though. Whereas this one, I know. Anyway, I'm very grateful that they carry this bread in the supermarket around from me. By the way. In Genoa, where they make a carbonada, as they might say, they don't use a bread. They use what we call pilot crackers. Do you remember pilot crackers? Or the word pilot bread?
Vaguely, I remember pilot crackers, but they're making me think of oyster crackers. So now
they're
confused.
Related.
They are
related.
Okay.
And, you know, it's another thing. The sailors could carry out with them. By the way, you know, the Neapolitan story is they would take these freselle, or pane biscottato, which means twice-baked bread, meaning they bake the bread, they split it, and then they put it back in the oven, just like I did with this whole wheat bread, although I didn't do it with slices. I did it with cubes. But where was I? Oh, so the sailor would be able to moisten this to make it edible in the seawater, and then, of course, top it. We're talking about really sailors. Top it with some raw fish that they picked out of the sea. Or, in the case of in Genoa, there was some dried kind of fish that they took. Or another one is anchovies. That's a classic in this. I love anchovies, but I have to be judicious how I use them. But if I'm making this and I'm thinking, well, I want to have some anchovies, I would see if I could find some salted anchovies, which you have to rinse off the salt, and also fillet. But they split in half easily with your thumbs, and you can easily pull out the spine. And those are, I must say, juicier and sweeter, so to speak, than the ones packed in a jar. But I do buy the ones packed in a jar, but I only buy ones packed in a jar in Sicily, because there's some really awful-tasting jarred anchovies out there. But I do know mostly they come from Sciacca, and they're really good. Anyway, and they're around. But Pilot Crackers, it's like a big square version of a, what did you just call them?
The Oyster Crackers.
Oyster Crackers, right. And in fact, there's an Oyster Cracker company, it's called Westminster, that also makes Pilot Crackers. I did a little research, and I found that these are around. You can, in fact, the brand that I remember most, really from childhood, I'm not sure why my mother bought these or my father bought these. Oh, I'll tell you why. Were called Sailor Boy. Sailor Boy.
I remember Pilot. That too, exactly. And that, but I bet you that's why. I mean, not now that we're talking about Pilot Crack, now that we're returning to the roots of the sea, so to speak, it doesn't.
That's why they were called Pilot Crackers or Sailor's Crackers, because they were this dry tack. In fact, that's in the, if you look up hard tack, H-A-R-D-T-A-C-K, it's an English word.
Yep.
It's hard tack. And, you know, so I think about this frequently, you're going to laugh. But since the same thing has emerged in different parts of the world, I don't think you could say anybody has invented anything. I think a lot of, like, noodles, you know, people think noodles were discovered by Marco Polo in China, but there's mention of noodles in Italy before Marco Polo was even born.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, there are certain, I'm going to call them core, but that's not, there are things that have been here, you know, from the jump, essentially. And that's it. It's my... Here.
Yeah.
Let me
reduce... Oh, by the way, I wanted to say that if you don't like anchovies, you don't like canned tuna, you don't want to eat raw fish, you can make this salad, any of these bread salads, I would say, with cheese as your protein.
I use feta. I was going to ultimately weigh in. Feta cheese is really good with that.
Feta or mozzarella, either one
yep.
would work perfectly.
Yep.
Yes, crumbled feta would be great. And by the way, with that I would put in big pinches of oregano. Make it, and then you could have Kalamata olives and make it thematically Greek. Or dill. That's another Greek. People don't remember the Greeks use a lot of dill, too. I use a lot of dill.
I'm a huge diller.
I love dill.
In fact,
I prefer dill to, well, there's no comparison. It's not the same. But I find basil disappointing these days. I don't know why.
It's sort of common. I have just a bunch of things growing.
It doesn't have as much flavor as I think it should.
It's something. But I have been snipping my rosemary, a couple of snips of oregano, and a snip of sage, and a snip of basil, and I just throw that on everything.
Well, I'm preferring these days where I might use basil to use mint instead, which is, I have to say, very Sicilian. Sicilians love the combination of garlic and mint, tomato and mint.
Well, remember way back when, you know, the great, there was this little restaurant on 58th Street, this is long gone. It was called Café Condotti. And my favorite pasta, she made this. It was, and I could just sit there. I could have done nothing. And I probably still could do nothing as long as she made it, not me. except sit there and eat this. And it was bucatini. It was the same amount. It was one-third basil chopped, one-third parsley chopped, one-third mint chopped. Mm. It had capers and olives and, you know, basically, and olive oil. And basically, you cooked the bucatini. It was a cold salad. You cooked the bucatini. Mm. And I would just dump boatloads of, grated parm because that
this was my... This was called Café Condotti?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. After the Via Condotti, no doubt, which is the main shopping street of Rome, the fancy shopping street.
And there were certain little restaurants that were, this was back before you had to be.
What do you mean?
What?
We're the same age.
No, I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying that they're not there anymore. You know, there was a place on Abingdon Square
nothing is there anymore.
Called Café Brigitte, and it was a French woman
is there anymore.
Who ran a cafeteria counter. So you'd walk in, and she would dish up, you know, some delicious, you know, the blanquette de veau, you name it, whatever she made, and you know, she put that and some rice on literally what would look like a Woolworths plate. It was a counter. It's just that what she was dishing up behind the counter was exceptional. And the same thing, Café Condotti, was a little, just shoved between two, you know, much bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Café Condotti.
It was, you could find a bunch of art dealers there. It ultimately became, after several transitions, the last I knew it was, now why can't I think of it, Serafina. It was a little Serafina.
So I was reminiscing yesterday about something that's not there anymore. I went to a fast food restaurant at the south end of Flatbush Avenue, which is pretty much, well, not pretty much, it's the neighborhood I grew up in. And we were at this fast food restaurant looking at a Walgreens, this enormous Walgreens. And I remembered it was on the miniature golf course of my childhood. That whole triangle of land was a miniature golf course with a coffee shop attached, where my father and I used to go for the best corn muffins we ever had. So everything has changed, Jill.
Oh, the best corn muffins. Now that's,
even you can't even find a good corn muffin.
No, you can't.
Not that I try.
But you just made me want to try. We've got a minute left. Do you believe that?
A minute?
1 minute.
Well, we're not going to find a good corn muffin in just 1 minute.
No, but we're going to start thinking about that. Maybe the place with the sweet bread can get, because that was the thing. You know, those absolutely hideous corn muffins that you use to slice and get toasted, you know, from the...
Well, I mainly like the top. This place, they had enormous tops with crusty, crunchy edges.
Yeah. Oh, with a little butter.
And I was just going to say, with butter, that's heaven.
It's heaven. and on that note, let us drool off into the sunset.
Maybe next week I'll have a place to recommend.
Okay.
You may be sending me on a search.
Off you go.
I have a friend in New Jersey that just sent me on a search for liverwurst in Brooklyn. Don't ask. I could talk about that one day.
Oh, we could talk about or corn muffin and liverwurst.
They don't go together.
No,
do they
don't. But you can.
Do you like liverwurst?
Well, weirdly, I never liked the name, and they couldn't feed it to me for hunger. And then I had to give a dog a pill, and I tasted it. It's like, it's not so bad.
Well, the one that I found from my friend in New Jersey...
Don't start.
...is made here. And if I gave it to you, would think it was some kind of elegant pâté.
Okay, well, elegant. That's the thing. When I realized that it was moving into the pâté band, then that's okay. I'm good with that.
Okay, let's talk about it one day.
All right.
All right. Meanwhile, in the meantime, everybody should have a healthy, happy week. And don't fight the heat, just, you know.
And corn muffins.
Sip a gin and tonic.
G&T and corn muffin tops with butter.
And not a bad lunch.
No, not a bad lunch at all. All right. It's always a pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Arthur Schwartz. on Robin Hood Radio.